always record episode 150. This episode is essentially the second half of a conversation from our SyncBook Plus member hangout recorded January 25th, 2016, and really a continuation of the conversation that's been going on somewhat behind the scenes and from our Always Record episode 149, just sort of questioning the future of the SyncBook enterprise, just sort of trying to figure out where we're going. So I hope if you listen to this, you know, sort of see what you think, and we welcome any comments and suggestions and feedback and everything. So 150, you know, I was sort of thinking of, I've been thinking about this, coming up to this number for a while, and sort of what was the milestone going to be, and I didn't really expect it to be this. But I think it's just really interesting, and sort of, again, there's a change coming. We'll sort of see what that means. We're trying to figure that out together. I hope you'll join us. All right, enjoy. We talked about the idea of a tower and the idea of infrastructure coming apart and the idea of what comes out of that. And for me, I definitely feel that the SyncBook enterprise is in a state of flux. We are definitely, I feel it very strongly, there's a change coming. And maybe I feel it more strongly because I have to once again sort of do some redesign work on the website. Basically we have, I think I told you guys a while back, Bob Dobbs was interested in doing a show for us, right? And, we had the conversation about it, and he just in the last 2 weeks told me he was ready, but I am, until this Indiegogo campaign is over, I mean, I've just been trying to pump out these videos, finish up the tree walk videos, and I have one last episode of Synchronize. So that's sort of consumed me, and I told him, you know, let's just hold off till February. Let's have the conversation then. So before I forget, if you guys are enjoying the tree walk videos, there'll be two more in the next few days, and there will be a last episode of Synchronize season 2.
Yay.
For, I guess, the only, Jim, if you were interested in looking at the Indiegogo, it does go until the 31st. We've got about 6 more days, I think, on that.
Word.
What I realized, and this maybe starts from a practical place, but I realized, okay, if I'm adding in a show, the design that I had done has sort of, again, this is kind of a stupid practicality, but the website design has 10 slots on the homepage and is it 9 slots under the radio tab? Does that make sense? I think so. And sort of realizing, oh, if I'm adding something in here, okay, what do I want to move around? Is there something that I should be taking off the site? Is there, you know, or some taking off the front page? Just sort of, again, stupid practicalities. But it did raise a number of questions for me. Some of the shows that we're producing for the network of shows, if you will, have definitely gone into hiatus. We have Marty's show. He did his season finale, and I don't think he's produced something in, I don't know, 9 months, which doesn't necessarily mean that he's done. I mean, I didn't do an episode of Synchronize. I think between Synchronize season 1 and 2 was about a year and a half. So it's not to say, and these things are dead or done. It's just a question of, okay, do I leave on the front page the most recent episode of, you know, again, say Marty's show or something. John, I know, was in transition. He moved from North Carolina to, I believe, Portland. And
upgrade.
His life has been very much in a state of flux, and he's had to put his show on hold. But now it's been, I believe, since August, so that's going on 5 months. And
I'm what just show is that?
Pentimental. That was John's show. And
okay.
then Wally obviously was, he was hoping to have a bunch of shows in the can before his wife gave birth, but that, you know, as she got closer and closer, that became more of a priority. He thought he'd have up until she gave birth, but I guess there's sort of the end of the pregnancy was time demanding and all that sort of stuff. So again, these are all guys who have expressed to me they want to keep doing stuff, but I also know that there's probably a sort of extended wait on anything coming out of them. So I specifically want to speak to you guys because you guys are our members, and obviously those shows are free shows. It's nothing, you know, it's I don't know how to say this, like, it's not like something you're paying for, you're not getting or anything like that. The shows that we do charge for archives are still producing, both 42 Minutes and Always Record. I'm also, again, producing the videos and the Synchronize and Sync Quick News, all that sort of stuff. The stuff that I can control, basically, I am. S.J. Anderson and Dennis Cook that were on this call have also been producing a monthly version of Always Record. So there's still plenty of stuff coming out, but it's just sort of realizing for me that there is just a moment for me to step back and pause and think about what is the future. What do I want to do here? Do I want to essentially refill those slots up? I could take on the Bob Dobb show. There's a few other people that want to do shows for us. So I could essentially replace those slots and put in more podcasts, sort of keep that radio network aesthetic there. But there's also another part of me that feels tempted to actually maybe turn down those additions and sort of focus, have a little bit, like, essentially have a tighter focus and sort of really concentrate on quality, not quantity, and things that I can control and Doug can control and things like that. And I guess basically.
Were the other additions vastly different than what you're already doing? Like, was there anything that was so new that you're like, oh, that's a new, totally new take, out of curiosity?
I would say, so John's show Pentimental was definitely a science, I would say it was more of a science-based show. He did have, you know, episodes that dealt with magic and things like that, but John is definitely the most educated person I know to speak on subjects of hard science, cold fusion, free energy, you know, quantum sciences. I mean, the dude is legit. So his show had more of a science bent to it. But other than that, it was, you know, it was a podcast. It was a sort of an interview format, I guess. Wally Schirold's show, Fine Just Fine, was definitely production heavy. It's
technolinguistic or something.
Yeah, definitely the most unique in the sense of I don't know of any other podcast quite like it. It was definitely you know, producing a sort of radio lab like work of art. There's Kevin Halcott was doing Hypnosis, which were almost like webinar, was sort of his original vision for it, video webinars. And then there's the Marty Weed Show, which again was, that was an interview format. So I don't, to be blunt, I don't really think there's something lacking.
Right, there's no gaps, to quote Phil. Or whatever.
Yeah, but I guess I want to confirm that in the sense of we have – I should send out an email to everybody because there are many more members than there are on this call right now. But while we're here, I feel like I want to take advantage of this opportunity and sort of get a sense from you folks.
It's a town hall.
What's that?
Like, it's like a town hall. Isn't there one happening tonight with the Democrats?
I don't know. But
anyway,
Yeah, but I just sort of want to get a sense from you folks to see, you know, I don't mean to make it as a simple this or that, but would
It seemed to
you?
me like Wally was wading through his format, and although I love it, like I thought, I forget the title now, it's going blank. What was Wally's show?
Fine, just fine.
Yeah,
Fine,
Fine Just Fine,
and
thank
let
you.
me just finish my thought
Okay,
here,
sorry,
because
yeah.
I want to sort of give the two. I said it's not as cut and dry as just these two options, but I'm
But here
sort
they
of always going
are.
to. Yeah, I was sort of. Well, I see more than two options, but anyway, I guess to say, the two most basic directions would be bringing on new shows, which would be, you know, sort of having additional content being put out under the Sync Book Radio umbrella. If you guys felt there was a, you know, not to say a shortage, but if you sort of felt like you wanted to keep that as a radio network sort of aesthetic, or if having essentially three shows that are producing more regularly, and having the videos come out and having these hangouts and stuff like that, to just be able to sort of tighten up the ship, focus on what we can produce. Things like that. I'm curious, I'm not looking for a vote, but more of a conversation maybe of how do you guys feel about those two possibilities? Is there something that speaks more to you than another?
I just want to point out, it's funny that you're saying either or, and we started this damn conversation with the third sex talk. That being said,
Totally.
I'll shut up and let others talk.
Alan, I just listened to your most recent Always Record like an hour and a half before this hangout started, so it's pretty fresh in my memory. I don't know how many days ago that was that you were mulling over the idea of
That was probably
asking.
2 days ago, yeah.
Okay. So 2 days ago. So I've kind of like I was talking to my mom about this earlier. It's like I've personally been every tarot reading that I've been giving myself this past like 3, maybe 4 weeks. I mean, I draw the tower card every time. And I mean, I've actually been like in a pretty black depression for a while. And I don't really know how intimately this syncs with everything else that you guys are feeling lately, but like personally, I feel like I really need to find like higher like real time. Like real time improvised structure to sync, like not really in a like a Facebook news feed sort of way. And maybe just like kind of ask what could we possibly do as like a way of evolving the sync book if that's what this lull time is asking for. I
Yeah,
mean,
so
like you're
please
talking about the
expand on that. Yeah, so
format
you're
of the
saying
website,
I'm
like
with you. I don't. I hate Facebook. Like to me, that's not. And if it, I know it works for some people, and I'm not trying to shit on it. I'm just saying to me, that's not a practice that I find as satisfying as far as exploring synchronicity. So I'm. So tell
You also have
me.
a girlfriend or a wife, rather.
I have a wife, but
I have
yeah.
neither, and I deleted my Facebook like in 6 days a year ago, so.
Gotcha. It's a good thing to do, but
So Hannah, what was your
yeah.
vote? I didn't quite
What were
catch
you
that.
imagining that you would like to see?
I actually haven't gone through really many of the member video section, like the videos in the member section. Simply because I'm sure I would probably end up putting like the majority of my nighttime hours into it. that are already pretty filled up with a few books right now. So I think, I mean, as far as like, I don't know, maybe keeping it from being like Twitter, but sort of in the same vein as like of really being able to like make or like have separate different hubs for like specific streams of Sync Glue to kind of play in for a while. I mean, in case there aren't actually shows weekly, sort of like, I mean, I guess like with like little chat boxes, but I don't.
And just, I really don't mean to interrupt. Just to be clear, there still will be weekly. Like I said, there will be 42 minutes and always record. I feel like there's no issue there with us producing content. Doug's had to change the day in which he records it, which has thrown it off ever so slightly, but still basically doing a weekly show. And I guess there's a, for me, one of the questions that I'm asking, and I'll put it rather bluntly, is you know, if you guys, what I don't want is to essentially I want to give you the value of what you're paying for, right? Of is that you're getting the content that you would want. And I guess what I'm asking is, right, so would you feel if there was only, you know, the two shows producing on a weekly basis or you know, something like that, is it a lack of content perceived there, or would you like to have additional do you get what I'm saying? Like I said, I don't mean to put it as bluntly as that, but I feel I have to. So just to be clear.
I mean, I feel like the production bar is set so high that like possibly Wally, John, and David have been kind of silent because of their own expectations for their shows that have just kind of like trickled down maybe. I mean, in the most recent episode from like 2 days ago, like I really get the weight of my own lack of discipline in being able to produce sync material. I mean, I have a sync journal that I get to keep up with like maybe 3 times a week, and that's kind of like that's kind of a personal breakthrough. So I mean, I realize like I'm probably light years behind what I really could do if I felt like I could contribute in a way that would be satisfying for myself. And I realize what this really calls for is a different way of thinking about it. And if Wally doesn't really have time to continue with Fine Just Fine like in the next month or two, I mean, if we have like some kind of like rapid fire, you know, session like scheduled, or maybe not even like, you know, consciously designed, I mean, if we, you know, just like some kind of
like a substitute teacher.
Yeah,
it's like, hey, he's on maternal leave, and this isn't the normal thing, but they're doing it for now. I'm not trying to cut you off, Anna. Sorry. I'll shut up.
No, it's okay. I mean, I don't really know what I'm trying to say. Like,
We didn't always. Wally and I didn't always record where he was talking about trying to like. He was thinking of cutting his Fine Just Fine episodes down to like 7-minute episodes or something.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why earlier I mentioned he hasn't set himself on a platform. He's still wading through his potentials or whatever.
Right.
Which is
right,
beautiful
right.
to watch. I think that's one of the Fine Just Fine was one of the most inspiring sync things I've heard personally.
Same
but
here.
He's in a place. Yeah. He's in a place right now where he's not able to do that. And I think he knows that, and we're all kind of cool with it. So it's almost like I was saying, a substitute teacher. I would prefer personally as a member to have a few things of high caliber that I can keep going to. And then, I mean, I'm on Facebook and other things enough where I can create these pools of these eddies of sync or whatever on the side that Hannah's kind of alluding to. Like, I don't think you can totally change the platform of your site to be a new thing altogether. You're kind of just asking, trim
Doug
the
can
fat
confirm.
Or...
I mean, we started out right. We've seen this before, so, and that's one of the reasons why I feel it so strongly that I know it's coming, and it's the site has continued to evolve because we had, just to be clear, when we started off, right, we had, it was, the reason it's called thesyncbook.com, the first thing we did was this book, and it was just, hey, let's collect, you know, I reached out to different people who were doing these sync blogs and collected it, and it was a book, and then Doug and Will started a podcast. So we started off, we had a book and a podcast. And then eventually Bill Klaus reaches out to me and says, hey, what if we started another show? And I know Bill's vision was for the idea of a sync book radio. That was definitely Bill's vision. He wanted to see that one day there was multiple shows and all these different names and you know, all these different perspectives. And that spoke to me. It's why I did the book, is all the different people and different perspectives. But what I've found, so I could kind of fast forward, we've seen the evolution. And then actually when Marty joined us, I don't think this is, there's anything wrong with saying this. I mean, when Marty reached out to me and said he wanted to do a show for SyncBook. I said, great, okay. He did a few episodes and then said, wow, this is a fuckload of work. We need to charge for this. And the rest of us were sort of not ready. We were like, you know, it just seemed like, oh, were we there? Is that what we're doing? And whatever. And so a sort of hilarious series of events is that Marty pushed for there to be paid member content. Guillaume and I mean, I took probably 2 months off from day job work to get everything done, to build this, everything for the website, to have a membership sign-ups and all this sort of stuff. And Guillaume busted his ass, and we redid the whole fucking site to have a membership access and all this sort of stuff, bought a new server, switched everything over. And then when we did it, Marty said, you know, I feel like I'm only a few episodes in, and I feel like I don't want to lock up my shows just yet. I feel like I can build my audience if I keep it free. Right, so I said, oh, okay. So he wants to keep his show free. But hey, we've done this, and we did have to pay to have all the stuff transferred over to the – well, basically, I mean, what we're paying for is 42 minutes and always record has like 5 years of archives, right, and have all the what they call like a cloud distribution so like you could stream it quickly and server space, blah, 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 whatever. Anyway, so we had sort of invested that. We have the membership in place. And we realized, well, at that point, we had multiple shows producing, multiple people producing. And we sort of changed the focus of the site to be more of a podcast site. So we went from a sort of a publishing center to a sort of podcasting center. And then over the last, I want to say probably almost a year, I've been really focused on the video production, which has thrown things off again because the sort of podcasting RSS and all that sort of stuff, I can't put those videos into the same feed. So I've been trying to figure out ways to, you know, if I'm doing a synchronized video, am I still calling that SyncBook Radio, but I can't put it into the RSS feed? I can put it on the site. You know, whatever. Again, these are sort of practical design.
And I suddenly do not envy your position. I'm like,
no, you shouldn't at all. So
even though you're a Capricorn, so you're well suited for this.
Yeah, oh, totally. Jesus. But to me, this is actually great. I don't regret a minute of it because what has happened is as each one of these changes has come and as we've continued to sort of shift our focus, what has essentially happened is we now have like. What was more of a vision for me is to truly be multimedia, where we have books, we have podcasts, and we have videos, and we can kind of mix all that up. So it's sort of, I guess what, you know, in one respect, one of my questions is more about specifically podcasts. But Hannah, what you're saying actually really speaks to me, it's this other thing that I have notes here about that I think. All right. All right, I'm just gonna be blunt with you guys. I guess what I'm envisioning is sort of a more of a decentralized, in a way, like, so right now everything is being done through me, which is not just a workload, but it means, so if we're going to do a show for Bob Dobbs or anybody else, there's a certain amount of setting up the databases and all the things that we need to do. And since he's not familiar with some of the more technical sides of producing things, that would be additional assistance I'd have to give there. And whatever, I'm not trying to put this anything about Bob Dobbs. I'm not pro or against and his contribution. I'm just saying he sort of pushed the question just from a simple like, oh, if I have to change the website, it made me look at the fact that, oh, my front page of my website and all this sort of stuff has a podcast that hasn't produced in, 9 months. It sort of like was a big red flag. Like, so do I just remove that? And then the implication of that, well, then is that show done? Do I redesign it to just put to make like a other podcasts or like all the different possibilities? But then I just realized, wait, stop thinking from a design and a practicality standpoint. What the fuck should, like, what do we want to do and what should we be doing and all this sort of stuff? And I guess what I'm envisioning, and I don't know if this is what you're speaking when you say like how you can contribute and how you could have a sort of practice, to me, there used to be, and again, so the sort of, maybe we can call it first wave synchromistics. So blogs were a thing, and I don't know that there was it seemed, again, it was a space to process, but also it was a space to collaborate. So instead of the social media form of commenting, it was, even people who didn't necessarily see themselves as quote-unquote artists found themselves creating things. And again, to me, this was it was a cathartic processing way of, okay, I'm having these synchronicities, or I'm seeing this pattern. How do I convey it, and how do I process it? And something I thought about would be, it could be as simple as like a Facebook group, or it could be something we do on the site, but maybe to make like a space that's not for just like chatting about, oh, did you see this news story, shit like that, but to actually honor the collaborative aspect of it, that maybe Jim and Nathan are musicians, right? SJ, you're a photographer. You know, maybe somebody else wants to, has a vision for a sync video, and doesn't have to be that, but I'm just using this as an example. And oh, hey, Jim, can we use your music? And SJ, can you shoot something that, whatever, that maybe this is something, I don't know if this appeals to people, but it was a thought like, maybe that's something we could facilitate that people can interact and collaborate. Because I know for me, that was an amazing experience. And it really genuinely helped me process this information in a totally different way. And then it wouldn't, that would be something I would gladly facilitate just to know that it's happening.
Like a polyphonic like, spree type thing?
If you want to create it and you want me to help sort of put it out into the world, I would do that. But that's not even, I don't want anyone to think I'm not asking them to create content for me. What I'm saying is like, if you want, I would like to just create a space that supports the further development of this.
Right. I think it's fantastic. Like a Linux thing, like almost like open source. It's not so much it's not so much pressure on people to be producing at Wally's level. Cause I think that's what Hannah was alluding to, where it's like, that's daunting. and it makes
it's
people
totally
love.
I trust me, I know what that's what I'm saying. I know what all these guys are feeling. And Hannah, if
Right.
you listen to it, always record. I hope it came across as not me being a dick. Like I'm really sympathize sincerely that whenever someone comes to me with like a grand vision of what they'd like to do, I'm always a little and that's why when I say like the Bob Dobbs or the other people who have asked me to do shows, the reason I'm hesitant right now is I was thinking, okay, so there's a few things. I see one that this ongoing indefinite task of producing a show every week, how quickly that becomes daunting, particularly if we want to do a high bar of production. And you can make it through a few episodes before suddenly it hits you. Holy shit, this is so much work. And there's no end in sight.
Right.
Like when I was talking to my wife earlier today, I said, with a podcast, if you have a weekly podcast, there's only two possible ways that show ends. And neither one of them is good. Either the host burns out or the audience gets bored. That's the only two ends for an
there's
indefinite
no third option.
Production.
I'm kidding.
I'm sure there's a third. I get shot, you know.
I was
and,
fucking with you, dude. Don't worry about it.
I think it's a great idea. You facilitate a space where people can come to when they choose to, even. I mean, what you're talking about is actually the opposite of one or two, like he's saying. You facilitate
yeah.
a space in that one particular way you were putting it, just that way you were putting it. It's a fantastic idea.
Yeah, I'm down with that too, personally. Because you've been kind of, it's been all over the place, so I didn't really get a vote from Hannah per se, and you haven't hit us with the quote, you know, the bluntness. Like, I think what you're getting at is like you're asking us, do we want a well, it's kind of evolved because it's not really a question anymore. So, there's the third option is this.
Yeah.
Sorry, no, go ahead. The bluntness was to say, look, you guys are paying money, and I want to make sure everyone's happy. That's the bluntness.
I think we're all happy.
We're happy, Evan. So good.
Yeah. So start there. All the kids
that's
are
great
smiling.
To hear.
Yeah, like the kids aren't like questioning who's behind the fucking, you know, the Wizard of Oz at this point.
Huh.
You know what I mean? Like we're all cool with the fucking situation, I feel. I can't speak for others. When I look, what I was getting at earlier was like, There's I don't even know how to say it. For example, Wally came out swinging hard with something so big that I was blown away by it. And it's not that he's not doing it again. It's so I'm not discrediting him. I think he's trying to figure out with his life going the way it is, obviously, how to be as highly polished and productive as he wanted to be on his personal vision with the complexities of life. So I haven't personally heard – this is terrible. Don't hate me, anybody. I haven't listened to maybe but one, if any, Pentimentals. I know Hannah had mentioned, oh, you got to check that shit out. And my life just hasn't allowed me to go there yet. I just haven't found the time. So when it comes to things like how do you cut the fat is kind of what you're asking. And what do we define as fat? And does the fat resurrect and all this kind of stuff? You're going to have to make the call. My vote is kind of have a few things that you – I mean, I love 42 Minutes and Always Record. It sounds like those aren't going anywhere. Marty Leeds, I don't know what he's doing. He was off Facebook for a minute and now he's back, I guess. I don't know if he's producing anything. The Pentimental stuff is fine, I guess, as existing. I haven't scoped it, so I can't really defend it. It's good to have some grounded, rational, kind of pragmatic things coming out of the group. Otherwise, it's just going to sound like a fucking, you know, crazy group or whatever. It's going to sound less grounded than it should be. Not that I'm even – basically, I'm just like – I think what you're – I don't – what would – oh, I'm going to put it this way. Do you know what the content style of Bob Dobbs' vision was?
Yeah, I mean, do you guys really want to, you want to go there? I want him to, I think basically it would be him and this woman, Roxana, would do what I imagine. All right, what I imagine it would be is almost like an Always Record in the sense of unedited conversations that's what I actually imagine it would be. She had said, see, again, she's a music producer, and she was incredibly inspired by Wally as well, and she wanted to do more of a production element, again, incredibly inspired by Wally. Then I think when she started to work on that, realized what a huge undertaking that was, and she said, maybe we start off with less production and build into it.
Not to be the dick. I'll be the dick for you. It's like, come to the pool knowing how to swim. Like, I mean, water wings suck. You know what I mean? Like, no one wants that. Or to a point. I think that not the only reason. Wally's channeling some Zappa fucking production here. You know what I mean? Like, he's got a lot going on that he can handle. So if anybody's trying to bark up that tree, I don't know if it's necessary. Kind of. Not to say that, because I'd actually like I'd like to hear what Bob Dobbs has to say, because I just recently stumbled upon the whole Church of Subgenius stuff. So it's interesting to me. It's relevant. It's not that it's irrelevant. I guess I don't know if I'm vocalizing the least, the relevant thing to me at this moment, though the most necessary in some weird way, is Penamental, where I'm like, if he's not talking and stuff, I don't know. This is hard being diplomatic with business, I guess. I'm not good at it, hence me not being a businessman. But you need to kind of get a hold on.
Yeah. So, John, I get this was something. I know, Hannah, you've heard this already, but John and I are good friends. John's one of just Pentimental. I have no doubt that if people were clamoring for it, I could essentially put some pressure on him to reprioritize.
To step it up or whatever.
But,
I miss the shit out of Pentimental.
What'd
you say, Hannah?
I missed the shit out of that show. Like,
yeah, he was doing a great job.
Yeah.
Me too. One of my favorites. He was awesome, man.
So keep it, I guess. In that sense, maybe if Wally's thinking about going to 7 minutes, that necessarily he's telling you in a very non-direct way that he doesn't need a whole show slot.
We're not like broadcasting, so it's just you guys don't need to really worry about like the slot idea. It was sort of a design question of like, oh, okay, I needed an even number of things just to go with the design that I had done. Oh, if I was adding one thing, do I remove something? Do I take on yet another show? But then do we start to pile up shows that are basically not
gathering
producing?
Dust.
That seemed weird to have like front and center. You land on the website and it's like, here's a show whose most recent episode was 6 months ago. It seems weird.
But I think it looks impressive though, with, you know, like Dennis McKenna's face on the bar. And I know it's not a good look having an old date and a kind of, but just kind of snaring some people from the outside world. I think it's nice to have someone, you know, like Dennis McKenna there and whatnot. And but I totally concur.
I mean,
you don't want to have the sort of redundant old things, but at the same time, if there's plenty of new things at the same time, then it sort of evens out.
Yes. Oh,
maybe change nothing and then think about how to create Hannah's idea of a playpen for noobs or whatever. I don't know. Like, I have no complaints. That's my vote. I have no complaints. So do what thou wilt.
No, I appreciate that, guys. And that's really nice to get an outside. So again, this is, and also, you know, it's really nice to have an outside perspective, because I look at this website 7 times a day. I know every inch of the damn thing, and it's nice to have. And so it's always like a question of, I got tired of seeing Dennis McKenna's face. I'm like, this has got to fucking go. It's like,
he's not the most beautiful man, but
no, good looking guy. And like, from like a recognition standpoint, but I just felt like it seemed after a while like having a newspaper, like last year's newspaper.
Yeah. We landed on the moon.
It's like, keeping a picture of your ex after you've dumped her or something, almost. Sure. I mean, I don't mean to be too drastic, but I mean, it's kind of like outdated. But right. Can I just jump in and say that I think that Hannah had a really good point about when she mentioned very, very briefly, which ties in with the point that we've touched on, and I know it's a different direction, but connected to what you're saying, she mentioned the chat boxes. That would require some web development, but she mentioned some chat boxes, and you mentioned having a place where you could have like a sandbox, a virtual sandbox. Those two tie together because it's a real-time almost thing where you're live syncing, live collaborating, which if you're talking about what sync is about and you're talking about the radio shows and what you should have is for the front of the page and what should be there, and that's very good. But, you know, when you're on a sync book too, one of the things that personally attracted me, not just the Twin Peaks and the Damn Fine Coffee, was that the idea of people who are aware of this phenomenon of syncing. You could have that. And I think that's a very, very good idea to think about, too, having the idea of having a live chat and having the idea of a live sandbox. Those things go very well because then you could have a show that once you find out that you want to add whatever you want to add whenever, then you can have a show that's based around the content created in that very thing. What could be more sync?
Absolutely. Ooh. Yeah, we actually had Guillaume built something for us. I just want to drop you guys the link. I'm pretty sure it's, this was something that he actually built this with the idea. The idea came from Fine Just Fine, but I don't know why my computer doesn't want me to give this to you. But if you go to thesyncbook.com/record, not always record, just record. He created a system that you could actually record from your personal microphone. And the idea was that, maybe we would, it could be for Fine Just Fine or Always Record or whatever, that sort of take the audio. If you guys had an idea, you go to this, drop your 5-minute monologue or, this is the sync that I'm having right now. And you just sort of hit record, do it, end it, and it gets sent off. And that we could go in and assemble these together and see, it's almost in a way would be doing it blind to see what did Hannah drop in the box? What did Jim drop in the box? What did Nathan drop in the box? What did Oliver drop in the box? What did SJ, so on, that you would have these, that's one level. But I like the idea of actual, so the blind thing is fun from like an experimental standpoint, but I personally would like to see more collaboration, particularly amongst the folks like you guys who
have creative output.
For sure.
It's like when you said noobs, I don't think of it in the sense of noobs. I think it's like, I'm excited to see what the next generation, and like, I don't mean to like say it like that, but you know what I mean? Like
the Care Bears?
The next wave of people that are into this, what do they focus on? What do they produce? Like, I've loved that after doing Always Record for like 4 years plus, that we have three new guys taking that same format and just sort of rolling with it, and they have very different personalities and interests than anything me or David brought to, and Bill brought. So it's like really interesting to see how that plays out. And I would like to see more of that.
I don't have anything particularly to offer. Like, I think Hannah and I are kind of the same boat where we're both enamored by the wow of it all, but we aren't in our own minds, we aren't producing. I'm speaking for both of us, unfortunately, now. Speak whenever you want, Hannah. But I'm more than willing, and it sounds like she is, to, be on the telephone line
can I ask a clarifying question? So maybe I misunderstood, because like I said, I'm not asking someone to create content. What I'm asking is, would you like that? Would you like that space to be able to?
Yeah, no, that right. Sounds good.
I think it's awesome. I mean, what I was saying is I'm not trying to be the sound producer, composer for any sync stuff, but if you were like, hey, do music, I would say, yeah, it doesn't even have to be music. I look at us as kind of like, I can't speak for everybody, but yeah, open source team members, basically. that's how I look at it. It's all a team, right? That's, I mean, absolutely, it's just various levels of commitment to various forms. I was kind of getting this weird mental image earlier where it's like, not vibrational densities necessarily, but it's like you started with a sync book. That's like a fucking paper, pulpy, physical thing. And then the podcasts aren't physical, but they're lengthy and bulky and you have to devour them in chunks and massage, you know what I mean? They're commitments of time. And then I guess this kind of next development would be something where you can pop in and pop out. And I do appreciate, I like the idea of collaborating. I mean, I would be down. Some of us don't know how we would. And I guess if you created the space to do it, it might be like a, you know, a nudist colony at first, like who's going to jump in first or whatever. But, it would probably, I mean, I don't know. I'm rambling. My vote's for whatever you want. That sounds retarded. You haven't screwed anything up. And I think if you go forward with, I mean, you're kind of just massaging ideas and brainstorming.
Even if it's a vote of confidence, Jim, even if that's a vote of confidence, I appreciate it. So.
Word. Like, this is almost echoing that last member chapter where I'm like, dude, you've got this tiger by the tail. Like, what do we do with it? Right.
Yeah.
Kind of where it's like, what's next? And it's not even so much a replacement. It's like, I keep getting this dumb mental image of like a chessboard where it's like, yeah, you got a king and a queen and you've got some important players that are foundational. And then you've got some players that are rooks and stuff that are less important in the, or, you know, defining of the thing, but they're still super important. And whereas I would look at myself or maybe Hannah or whatever as pawns where it's like, we're up for whatever.
Don't call
we're
Hannah limited. A pawn. You can call we're yourself limited. A pawn. You can't call someone else.
I'll call myself a pawn. I'm sorry, Hannah. I'm limited in my movement.
Gotta defend the ladies on here.
Diagonally. True that, true that.
But could I say something just as a quick thing, just to the idea of creating the collaboration? And you know, it's not anyone's business how to, you know, bring up how other people feel like that. But out of empathy, I understand that we all hit depressions and such. And I know that someone said they were depressed earlier. And I've heard and I've experienced that there's no better way. First of all, we all know that being around other people can help, and that's already taken care of through many other means. But creation, it always gets you out of a place of darkness, even if it's just for the moment you're creating. And then you think about, oh, look, you have a real-time sync thing happening. That's one, we all love sync. Two, you're creating. Three, you're doing it socially with people that you know and trust because it's this specific group. I just think that's a great idea to add to that other point. And I just want to all jump back out, but that's been on my mind. And like you just said, drill that
amen
down.
Amen to that.
Thank you. Yeah.
Straight up.
So you didn't really get any votes, but you've basically got the whole team behind you.
Well, can I jump in here for a second, Alan? Yeah, I just wanted to give a couple of thoughts. One, you know, being someone who kind of, I guess, has been on the cusp of the collaborative sort of new model, you know, with the Bizarro team. You know, I will say that's been quite an experience just being able to make content with my friends and then have it released and shared with other people. I mean, there's a real power in that. Knowing that, you know, we're sharing ideas. And so I really appreciated the platform and the ability to do that through the sync book, you know what I'm saying? The distribution that you guys have made available. So that said, from someone who's like purchasing, taking that hat off of just a purchaser of content, if you want to phrase it that way, I've really appreciated like blogs and or podcasts that are very focused, very well produced and very consistent in terms of the schedule. It's kind of like a TV show that you can tune into once a week on Tuesday nights or something like that. And so, you know, I feel like 42 minutes for me for like years was such a great pleasure because it was always on Tuesdays. I love the intros. I mean, I just kind of got to fall in love with their model and their sort of consistent presentation. And, you know, I will say, I think like sometimes going to the site, like seeing all 10 things, it's just sort of overwhelming in terms of receiving content as a subscriber. I'm making a case that maybe for the benefits of something that's more focused and a little bit more high quality, just as a selfish viewer of content. I mean, I love that, you know. The other thing I just wanted to quickly say was I think books are a forgotten art, and like essay collections on themes, whether it's a sync book 3 or whatever, I think that's a real opportunity too, because it's so different than the Facebook model and the kind of podcast model, the diffuse voice model where you have a hard artifact that is then released and sort of stays put over time. There's a static production. And I think you guys could benefit a lot from doing another one of those, or, you know, even a series of those, in terms of just getting an audience, because people love to buy a book. I mean, it's sort of a special thing in this media environment, isn't it? Here's a book, you know? So anyhow, just to throw that out there, those are some of my thoughts. And
I think SJ actually encapsulated this perfectly. We're all having such different perspectives, and I completely agree with SJ, where it's like the recurrent, you know, it's kind of like Cheers. Everybody knows your name, but it's an inversion of that, where it's like going to 42 minutes. I totally dig going and hearing intros that are hilarious and making me have to dig through culture to get it and stuff like that. So on the one hand, I'm like, fuck yeah, it is about being concise and effective. My whole point was this. It's like a body. I mean, they use this analogy a lot in the Christianity, but it's like a body, right? Everything is, it does have its own function, and maybe we don't even have to, so obviously SJ is naturally sounding more to be inclined towards the book stuff. So maybe he'll be lending himself towards that more and helping put the energy necessary to get that ball rolling better, if that makes sense. Whereas I don't really buy that many books. I bought Dune and Finnegan's Wake. Those are the only books I bought this year. And they're sitting on a shelf and I need to read them. but they're the books I brought, so I will read them. But my point is, I'm not going to be one who's like, I totally get what SJ's saying. It is a little overwhelming to see 10 bars, you know, Cheers bars, where it's like, well, how am I going to get to know all these things?
Yeah, so where do you start? Exactly. That's something I've been, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's something I've definitely been experiencing. And SJ, can I just ask a quick question? I don't know if Doug's actually still here, but I know since Doug took this other job, there's been a little bit of a hiccup in that consistency of 42 minutes. I'm curious. I know he's tried to really limit how much of a hiccup that is. How much has that been sort of noticeable from the other side of the table?
It's definitely been noticeable. And it's, I mean, I say that with all deference and some compassion for like the realities of life, you know, as a working person. I don't mean to be critical at all, but yeah, it's certainly been noticeable. I mean, you know, of just that consistent the consistency, the expectation as a viewer, you really kind of fall in love. Like I said, I mean, I love hearing Will and Doug and their voices, and you get to feel like you know them, and
exactly,
their guests were so, they were so diverse and just compelling, but there's something about that consistent product that you get to settle in with them. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like, yeah, there's the disruption. I mean, I'm already a fan, and I will be for indefinitely, you know, barring some radical shift or something like that. So, but for a new person, maybe I think it would be harder for me to develop a relationship with them. If that makes sense. Given.
Absolutely. I get that.
Yeah. So that's,
I'm on that wave too. In my mind, I'm like, maybe we shouldn't do the Dobbs thing. I hate to say it because it's such an interesting catch. You got like an interesting catch, right? It's like, holy shit, what? It might not be the right time for that. I don't know. You're going to have to make the executive call. But SJ said it exactly right. I mean, it's having,
I've even said this to everyone who wanted to start a show is, you know, I've encouraged people to – I said it doesn't have to be weekly, but I would aim for something consistent if possible. That even if you said it's every 2 weeks, it could be once a month, it could be whatever, but try and have a consistency that people can know to expect it. And that's been, I know for both my schedule change and Doug's change, it's been hard to keep a consistency with our shows. And, you know, like I said, I feel like we've put the content out there. It's just, not a day of the week that you can wait and, you know, that you can expect it, or how it used to be. You, for many years, it was always record was Thursday and 42 minutes was Tuesday, and it just, that's how it was. So I know for a fact, I even know for a fact that, like, we used to have a different sort of metric that would show us the downloads. And when I distinctly remember when I first switched that up, that I noticed like a significant drop, that people didn't know to expect it anymore. You know, you move on, you know, whatever it is. And so I know for a fact how much that consistency sort of helps people just get into a ritual. even for myself, there's like, there's this one cartoon that I, an anime series that is in current production that I wait for every Saturday. And it's like, okay, that's coming out. It's the only TV show I watch. I don't even have a TV, but we can watch it online. But it's like, I know that's something that, oh, it's Saturday. My wife and I are like, oh, is that tomorrow? Oh, yay, okay, it's coming out. I get that.
Yeah, like with the X-Files tonight.
Right.
Is that actually happening right now? Like, can you give us the title?
Of what I'm watching?
It's of the anime.
I'm watching an anime series called Haikyuu. It's really... It's about like a kids volleyball team
living on the edge.
Can I just say, because how do you know to expect that show and how do shows work, right? I mean, I want to hear more about this Haikyuu in a second, but I mean, you know, the point is, if you have this guy coming up, why don't you make it clear for the listeners and say, hey guys, we have a planned 4-month show or a 4-week show. He'll be coming out once every Thursday. I mean, if you want to go from the middle point between I don't want to do this at all or I don't know what I'm going to do with it to, oh gosh, it's going to go forever. Why don't you have a mild, you know, middle ground disposition to set, and then you can say, oh, that worked out or that didn't work out, and oh, hey, it looks like this is working out, let's keep going for this amount, and that way you're not putting all your eggs in one basket. And now tell us about Haikyuu.
Well, no, that was something else. I've really actually been pushing. It's funny. It's like, again, I don't – maybe it's – how do I say this? Maybe it's time to be more of the boss.
Yeah.
I've really tried that when someone comes to – see, like, I've really tried to just help facilitate someone's artistic vision, but also telling them – that maybe their vision what they're expecting it's going to be is going to be different than what their early expectations are. So whatever. So when someone says, no, like I've had multiple people say to me, I'm going to do a show twice a week. And I said, oh, I don't think you're going to.
I was like, good luck with that.
Right, good luck with that. And then they go, okay, it's all right. Yeah, this is impossible. I'm going to do once a week. And then 3 weeks later they go, all right, do you think I'm going to do like every 2 or 3 weeks? And it's like, shit, all right, this is not happening. So meanwhile,
while you're on the branch of their creativity, the viewership's scrambled and everyone's like, what the fuck, or whatever.
Right, it's like, yeah, I've gone through this now. So many times that I'm really – that's why when I say the Dobbs thing, it's less about him in particular than just saying like, part of me doesn't want to go through this process again of redoing my website to have someone start something that I don't know that they can – like, whatever, just been burned.
You don't want a Marty Leeds 2.0 or whatever.
But
but not what
I've
quite
been,
like that.
What I've been really trying to push for, and again, no one wants to take me up on it, but I have to sort of like just say, no, this is how it's going to be, is what I've tried to push for is essentially like a mini, like, or a season, right? When you have a TV series, you know, the news, like if you watch, you know, the weatherman, he's on every fucking night till eternity. But
even if he's lying, yeah, sure.
Right, well, of course he is. But
so the weather report's kind of like always record. It's always going on.
But I mean, like, you know, whatever you're – so X-Files, you know, they're going to have a set number of episodes. And when that's done, that's the end of that season. And then they might come back next year for another season for another a set number of episodes. And then take a break and whatever. And it becomes this manageable thing, but it's still something you can deliver to people and say, hey, all right, let's say we want to start a show. Let's make it an 8-episode show, an 8-episode season. And then I can say to somebody, make sure you have about 5 episodes already produced before we even go live with it.
Yeah, just like what was that sci-fi thing that was just on about?
Right, just to have an accountability and to have a plan and then to say – and exactly. What I've been trying to encourage people is – and I did it with this Synchronize. I don't know if anyone has watched those videos. I won't be hurt if everyone says no. But I've been trying – this was an experiment for me since I've been telling everyone this is how I'd like to see something done. I was like, fuck, I'm just going to do it myself. Is to say it's a set number of episodes, but it's also a contained like narrative. It's not just like – if you did 42 minutes and it was like 8 episodes, well, who are your eight guests, right? That does, kind of doesn't make sense. But if you had like a specific narrative, you said, hey, we're going to do eight episodes on Philip K. Dick, right?
Nice.
And then you produce those eight episodes and you interview different people and you explore – each week you would explore a different topic.
Giving it cadence.
Right. And you sort of have a beginning, a middle, nice. And an end. Obviously, it's a subject that can always be revisited, but to say this is like a packaged deal.
Yeah, miniseries or whatever.
That for Rabbi Baruch Goldberg produced these
wonderful. Yeah.
No, that turned me on to Kabbalah, by the way. Good
wonderful.
Job. Like, straight up and fucking down. Exactly, we're all like, yes, right. yes. But guess what? We weren't like,
right.
If it was this
so perfect.
Like,
so he produced
thing,
these 10 talks.
It.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
If it was this open-ended thing, like once a week we're going to talk about Kabbalah, I guarantee you I wouldn't feel the same way. Like, because it was packaged in like a very similar to like Childhood's End. Like, you understood it's a three-part series. You know what you're getting. You can choose to digest it. You know what I mean? And it
and
you
and
can
I feel
kind
like
of
it has more
yourself.
Of a lifespan too, because right, you know, with a weekly show, like, you know, and I say this as a guy who's producing an ongoing show and Doug's producing, you know, I say this with full, you know, hindsight is 2020, is that I know I experience, and again, I see the numbers, people download the most recent episode, right? It's very few people really go in and digest the archives. So, but, you know, because it's this mentality of it's new. Or it's like it has a timestamp on it. This is the show from October 2014. Like, who goes back and listens to a podcast, you know, a two-year-old episode, unless you were really into that guest or something.
Right.
But
right.
If it was – this is an eight-part season on Philip K. Dick, that would be timeless.
Which is
and
a great
this
idea.
Is that 10 years appeal. From now, and it still applies because it's not – it's not doesn't have that time stamp on it exactly.
That and it utterly appeals to outside SyncBook members because then they're like, there's that book on the shelf. I've never been in this bookstore, but I know that they're carrying that. You know what I mean? Like, I've definitely sent the link to the Kabbalah thing to a few people, like a girl in Tel Aviv who's a Jew. She's Jewish. And I was like, I was basically like, tell me what's accurate in your eyes. Like, it started a whole fractal. You know what I mean? Like, I have a relationship with a girl in Tel Aviv now, essentially, not like romantic, but an actual friendship relationship that is deeper than not because of SyncBook producing a small, confined nugget. Had that been a Regis Philbin thing talking about Kabbalah or whatever, it wouldn't have worked that way.
That would also be hilarious.
It would be funny.
It would be. Not life-enriching, but hilarious.
So, I bottom line, I think you've got the – you see what you need to hear, I think. I don't know if we have to be a or, you know, nay or yay thing as much.
No,
but
it's really helpful to just even get some validation for – like I said, it's so hard. And, you know, SJ and I had this conversation last month, but it's the like – whereas she was talking like, you know, wearing the two hats, you have the fan and then like the content creator and then the content consumer. And
George Lucas.
There came a point for me in the last few years where I, out of necessity, have totally slipped to one side of that. And it's very hard for me to, like, since I take in so little media, I used to listen to a ton of podcasts. I can't anymore because I'm busy producing stuff. So yeah. It's like even the sort of feeling of being the content consumer is sort of, you know, a memory to me. But I, especially on something that I'm creating, it becomes very hard to have a perspective on. It's almost impossible for me to have any objective opinion, it would seem to me, about the thing that I'm living and breathing and sleeping, right?
Well, so you're getting cabin fever. Like, yeah, so, I'm just surrounded by this.
But it's really nice to sort of hear some that these ideas jive with you. And I do want to
well, then it gets kind of down to like who has expressed, like, okay, Wally, I mean, I keep going back to him because I think he has the
potential. I can have this conversation. Like I said, I think what has to, you know, in one respect, I almost thought that being the responsible party meant sort of saying, hey, you know, I have to focus on my thing, but whatever. I think what the responsibility I have to step into is to say, if someone says, hey, I want to do something for SyncBook Radio, I have to say, okay, this is what I would want from you. You know, I would want an eight, you know, let's work out an idea of what
a is contract or whatever.
Yeah, essentially, like, perfect. And if they don't like that, they can go do something
else. So this is going to sink into Bowie real quick. I just watched The Prestige the other day.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, you're freaking me out. Go on.
Okay, so the whole point, I'm not going to get into it much, but like the guy's like, he's got a magic trick and he's like, I need to book this, right? He said, I'm going to parallel it. I guess you could do it yourself, but like it would be analogous to somebody being like, hey, I have a podcast, you know, I have a product I want to come out with. And the guy was basically like, all right, you have 10 shows. You know, he gave a contract. I don't know the character's name, but basically then something goes horribly awry and, you know, he's like, get the fuck out of here. I hate comedians. You know, I hate comedians. But well, I didn't totally spoil it, but I just want to contextualize the scene I'm talking about. Anyway, yeah, you need to basically just be confident in yourself enough to say, we have a platform that's valuable and we can't just have, it is a testing ground in a lot of ways, but they're, in this sense, you need to have some, like if somebody's asking for stuff, just be like, fine, you've got 1 month or 2 months or whatever, 8 shows, however you break it down, I don't know. Prove yourself and let's see what the results are. And there's no butthurtness about it. And you can tell.
Thank you, James.
You could tell what's going on. You know what I'm saying? Like, basically, I think we've all kind of come to the same conclusion, it sounds like, where you're going to just need to kind of wade through your options and make them have to step up to the professionalism of putting forward a demo tape or however you want to call that. Instead of just being like, all right, well, it's just jazz hour and I know you're good, just jam away. It's like, that isn't going to work right now.
Nice metaphor.
Well, it's the idea of curation, right? You don't just have an art exhibit with everything in your collection. I mean, you curate it based on theme for a set amount of time.
Well, if you want a good product, you know, yeah.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Not only if you want a good product, if you want a digestible product. I mean, it's almost not digestible otherwise. And so you can't even take it in. You know what I'm saying? And I just want to say also, Alan, 42 Minutes, I think, tripped onto this a couple of times the last 2 years. Like they had things like Supernormal July. They even had a Philip K. Dick themed month where they had four guests.
Precise. That's what I was thinking of, yeah.
And those were great. I mean, I remember looking forward to, man, I can't wait till next week. You know, but there's a sense of a depth of a topic, but also in these digestible bits that they had, you know, their style, which is the 42 minutes, you know, you're not going to get dragged into something too long. They're in, they're out. They ask pointed questions. They're incisive. And then, you know, so anyhow, yeah, I think I'm just,
That lady with the, I don't know the lady's name, but Bob Dobbs and the female, she's kind of like, oh, I've got, or it sounded like they're like, we want this. And then they started realizing the practical aspects were daunting. So maybe it's less daunting if they don't see it as open-ended. If you're like 4 to 8 episodes, make it develop production-wise if you want. Don't. Who cares? You know what I mean? Like, do-si-do for the song length. And then when the song is over, take a seat. And it's like, if it works, then you create more opportunities for the dancing to occur. And exactly. It happens. Whereas instead of just like, hey, you know, you're at the sock hop, we should be dancing. Like that just makes it fucked up for everybody. Because then they feel pressure and the creativity actually might be stifled. I mean, I'm a jazz musician more or less, so I like improvisation and I like being on the cusp of the now. But that isn't necessarily going to give you SJ isn't probably down with everything I'm saying in terms of concise awesomeness, right? He'd probably prefer it if I wrote an essay or something, which is fine. And I love how I'm presuming his position. Sorry. You see my point, right? I think if you go
I feel really clear about this. I feel really, really good about this. And I thank you guys so very much. And I want one last point here was to reiterate something that Nathan said to Hannah. I think it's probably been no secret. I feel like I've, particularly in the last few months, I've been much more sort of open personally, if not on, I think on Always Record, but also on some other podcasts that I've appeared on and stuff, where I feel like more and more, I feel like just being very, very honest with what I'm experiencing and sort of, and I've been in and out of really dark spaces the last few months.
I third that, and, straight up. So, and, solidarity.
But what Nathan said is true. Like, it almost feels a little like manic, in the sense of I would have these really low lows, and then just to throw myself into a project would so lift me out of it that I'd get really excited. And I was just like, I would just forget all about it and feel great for a while. And it's just in the last few days, I think what happened, you know, some people were saying, oh, it's because it's Mercury retrograde and whatever, and that could be part of it. But my wife pointed out it's Mercury retrograde in Capricorn, so she said it's feeling it even worse. But
and Jupiter retrograde, so you know.
Yeah. So, but I feel – so, like, basically I was producing all these things to get – to have whatever videos from the 2014 event weren't finished, to have – every video cut by the to have I'm sure you guys have seen, like, at least on Facebook or whatever, putting out like a video every day, right? Some of them were already done, but plenty of them weren't, and all these different things, whatever. I finished that probably 2 days ago. I finished the last thing that I needed to create, and I've the slump came back. I was just like, oh, so now what do I do?
You know, I wonder if that's like, how David Bowie felt between, like, albums.
That just tells you you're an artist.
Yeah. I would agree with him.
Say that again, Nathan?
Well, I mean, it's obvious. You're an artist.
Just that's like that's how I write, that I need to be doing that.
That's how I see it. I mean, I feel that way when I'm making music, that I'm into the timeless. It's kind of like taking gold for your soul. You know, you want more and more. But yeah, no, I mean, I'm not trying to oversimplify the human condition, but I'm simply saying that I think we all of us here identify with why in a creative spurt you could put it in the mundane way of saying you're distracting yourself from the pain of being and, you know, the Sartrean existentialism, or you could just say that I like creating. Now that I'm done, now you want to create more. I don't know. It's up to you, really, right? It's you.
No, like I said, you guys have been
and if you do this just right, you might not have to serve tables anymore.
I might not have to. Ultimately, that would be wonderful.
That's a dope goal.
Yeah, I'm not trying to. I'm not trying to deny that opportunity, as I sometimes get told I do. When I go, that's me. I go, well, we'll see. You know, but
very cautious.
That's optimism. That would be wonderful. But I also, like I said, for me, you know, I feel again since I've seen this baby grow, you know, me and SyncBook have sort of learned to walk together and all that sort of thing. Like, we've watching this thing develop and seeing that it's every time I thought, oh, it's a big change is coming. Like, and I have some of this question, is it falling apart or is it becoming something new? And that's why this time I wasn't really freaked out. Like, oh, okay. This is another point where it's something's changing here. But it's really, I mean, I just feel so, in a lot of ways, just really proud of all the different incarnations that it's become. And I feel something I was saying to you, SJ, is like, so like the Always Record, when Bill asked me to do a show, and then, you know, there's a part of it that became, I'm not going to lie, there were days where it's like, okay, it's work or whatever, but being able to like talk to people, so like, yeah, you know, you have even the comments on the blog and whatever, but being able to say like, hey, once every week we're gonna get on the phone and we're gonna talk for 2 hours and we're gonna talk through, I mean, you know, how many weeks did I spend with David talking about Kabbalah? And then, you know, it was like this natural progression. We didn't say, now we're going to talk about Crowleyan magic, and now we're going to talk about Marshall McLuhan and whatever. It was just sort of like, as the topics came up, and we would sort of like try and digest them and go through all this stuff until everyone sort of felt satisfied, and as new subjects were introduced, and just for me to be able to process that information in such a way was really, really helpful, that I feel totally invaluable experience.
I mean, dude, you're a dad of a child, like an artistic child, in the sense, like, the parallels, I mean, I imagine from inception to now or whatever, the feeling a father would feel towards his son or daughter, you know what I mean? Where it's like,
yeah, I don't have any children, but I imagine what I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, it feels like watching the kid grow up made me grow up.
Yeah. And you're not going to look at like age three is the best, like when it was the book that was the best, because it is what it is, you know what I mean? Like, you don't look at a toddler and say, this is the creme de la creme of your existence. You kind of roll with it and experience the development with it. And then, I mean, who knows, maybe when you started going to podcasts, that's puberty, you know, you just, your balls dropped and all of a sudden your voice is deep and you can procreate now. It's a very different thing, you know what I mean? It's a new kind of being. But I don't know, my hope is that you don't lose hope in it. I mean, it's kind of a last member talk out. I was saying it's kind of like a political movement, but if you parallel it a little, it's like, if you get enough of the right enthusiastic people around you, you're going to build a kingdom of reality. Wow. It's not, you know what I mean? That's basically what I think SyncBook is doing. It's creating an island, a safe mental zone for people who are experiencing truly paranormal, mystical occurrences in their normal lives, but they can come to this watering hole and say, you know, look at each other and say, we got the secret handshake, yo. The price of admission is
or at least a safe space. Yeah,
And it's so beautiful because it's not dogmatic. I guess you can talk on this obviously now because I wouldn't know, but there probably have been more often than not, not power struggles, but developmental struggles in the sense of where the vision of SyncBook was going, where you wanted it to go as the, like, a founder of it or whatever, between, like, okay, for example, like Wally, he just kind of came up out of nowhere and I'm like, holy shit, this is great. And it's not that I'm looking at it as a branch, okay, let me put this right. He's got such an interesting thing where if he had a bad ego and all sorts of crazy shit, he could try to take over your whole world. You know what I mean? But he doesn't, thankfully. And he's got I think he's got a concise vision as to how to add towards your stuff. So Wally, shout out. Good job. I guess I'm just saying you've got the momentum, and I think maybe now you're starting to realize you have a machine. It's like that Pink Floyd line. If we all pull together, I can't remember the goddamn line.
It's from Having a Cigar.
Yes, thank you. It's like, that's where we're at, or where you're at, it seems.
If we all pull together as a team,
it could be a hell of a monster, right?
Correct.
That's the whole point. And
Foo Fighters did a cover of that.
So I'm stoked for you, basically. This is like watching, like, Van Gogh's not an example. He died without selling a painting. But this is like seeing, like, this is like, yeah, bad use of art. I can't think of an artist. I'm looking at some stuff, like Cézanne in my room at my grandparents' house. Just prints or whatever. But my point is, this is kind of like being in Paris in, like, the turn of the century, like, when, like, the rite of spring is happening and shit. It's like, this is fertile ground, and some people rioted during that and stuff, but, you know, I'm glad it happened. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a tiger you got by your tail, so I don't know what the, quote, best method forward would be, but you're doing it very democratically, which is admirable, in a time of ego when that's, you know what I mean? Like, you could be pulling a Donald Trump and saying, I could shoot somebody in the street or whatever. Yeah. You could be ego tripping and you're not, but you understand the gravity of what you have, so I'm stoked. That's all I gotta say. Like, I don't come across many things. Like, Genesis is The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway, SyncBook. Like, there's a few things that have redefined my existence largely, which sounds really big and crazy, but it's like, this for me, and I'm sure this is why these kids, you know, SJ, Hannah, people keep coming to this watering hole, is because it is and real.
I actually sympathize immensely because even though, like, so at this point I'm the caretaker of the thing. I mean, it was only
like Fawlty Towers. You're the,
you know, like nine 9 years ago. Basically, I found some other people doing this. Like I said, this was an age where there was no. It was like I guess the most centralized hub would probably be the Sinkhole blog. It was a blog that Jake Kotze and Will Morgan and Douglas Bowles and a few other folks had like a communal blog that they would like take turns writing articles or whatever. And I discovered that and Jake Kotze's videos and Steve Wilner's videos. And obviously, like, you know, take this as a sympathy, but maybe perhaps a warning, is this is how much that changed my life, is that now it's become my life. Like, it's been such a thing.
It was a reorienting like
absolutely thing. Yeah. And I can't, at this point I couldn't imagine my life without it. So I'm
pretty sure everybody who, I'm not everybody, but anybody who's participating at this membership level kind of thing cares about it like that. You know what I mean? I think it's existentially important to us, to me. I mean, it's not like I'm like, you know, I don't have like, you know, like a teenage girl who has Hanson and Michael Jackson and posters all over the world. I'm not like quite like that fanboy.
Oh, yes, but you are. Come
step
on.
A few, yeah. I've got great, great, you know, paint me like your French girls, Jack, drawings of you guys. No, I'm kidding. But my point is, I think we're all committed to the idea so much as participants just from the outside that anything going forward is just going to be a beautiful and awesome thing to be a part of, even just from the outside. So that's even earlier when you're like, would you guys collaborate? It's like, fuck yeah, dude. Just, I don't know how. I mean, carte blanche, creative open door policy on my end. Like, whatever. If you guys ever need any help in any capacity, holler. Like, I'm pretty open. But you're going to start attracting that vibe attracts tribe, yo. And this tribe is interesting as fuck. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes. I'm stoked. Like, I keep saying that, but it's like, this is like, it's like the Little Rascals on acid. And like Sink and Spank, or the dog is like Sink. And we're like, we love this dog. And it's always with us. And we all have our own quirks and takes. You know, some people are more, you know what I'm saying? It's like that. It's like, it's a fractal breakdown. Everything's a myth. Whatever, I'm rambling. I'll shut up. But
Hannah, can I ask you a quick. Sorry, I just want to. What you were trying to express earlier, I just want to sort of like, before I just go off and start, you know, chopping wood and all that, I don't know, like I said, I don't know that you were specifically trying to sort of looking for a collaborative space for like a projects or something like that, but I'm just sort of questioning, like, is there anything there that you could clarify or that I'm missing that you, of what you were envisioning? Like, would you, when you, like, you, you know, you mentioned like chat boxes.
I'm pretty hesitant to like lay out a structure here for you.
Sure,
because
I know. Yeah.
I really don't. I mean, that's not really for me to know. But I mean to have a discussion about that for like have an ongoing discussion about how this can actually manifest in like on the SyncBook page, like outside of Facebook and
like
its related groups.
You're here.
I mean, it kind of reminds me of this old DOS game. I can't remember the title of it. It's like, it was basically a simulation of like the separate hard drives, and you could basically just go through a labyrinth and open separate disks and like find viruses and like rename them and like it was kind of like a Pokemon. I don't know. I think what I'm basically saying is like, how can we like actually collaboratively experience a creation of kind of like what Kurt was saying in the second to last Always Record about how we can really communicate with AI collaboratively. Like, I mean,
I like that.
Self would kind of be, I mean, that would be an amazing project.
I gazed and stared.